Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to speak with us about a fun, relatively new frontier with recording and listening. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Jen. Happy to be here.
Hey. Yeah, great. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about this kind of place that we've done a little bit of traveling into with recording and listening, kind of a new foray.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And actually, so we're doing some recording and listening with kids. So kind of late elementary school into middle school. And we have done, you know, another trainer has done some work a couple of years ago with kids in middle school. And we did have some really cool things come out of that. And then that kind of tapered off, and there just kind of been a dormant period. And then more recently, we had some folks be interested. And so we've been working with kids with the RL curriculum. And it's been really, really fun. And the responses have been exciting. Like, they're interested.
Yeah, and you kind of never know, right? Because you just don't know how that's going to go. And one of the things that's so fabulous about kids, I know you've worked with kids, and I've actually worked quite a bit with kids as well, too. They're so honest, and they're so open, and they're so just right there. So you're going to know right away whether this is viable or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing, Jen, is that I've been doing these virtually. We've been doing these virtually, and so I can't see them. And one of the things that I've been really appreciating is all the skills that are involved in recording and listening, and also how we kind of are with one another, how we talk. And so, you know, often in groups and in the class, we get to these places of kind of like, oh, you know, what are you saying, or what was that like, and that kind of thing. And, you know, that's a skill to process. Like, it's kind of like, well, what do you mean? You know, how do you look to your experience?
Absolutely.
And so at the beginning, it was kind of quiet, you know, and it was like, okay, all right, well, we're going to keep going. And just like everything, like retreats and classes, there's just this warming up, you know, and you can just see like intelligence learning.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, towards the end, there's all kinds of things that they're seeing and benefits of what they're doing.
Right. They just needed to, I project in the way you lay that out, they needed to understand what you were asking them. But once they know what you're asking, they've got all kinds of things to say.
Yeah. And that is another thing, is that I wasn't sure about, you know, the curriculum is written largely for adults. And then we've kind of done some iterations to make it work for children. But sometimes I'm not sure, you know, is that language, is this too complex? And what I got, especially from what these guys were saying at the end, was this is universal. The process that, you know, like directing the attention, things like mentoring, support, encouragement, expanding the awareness. Now, they might not know what those words mean, but they can be directed in an experience of that, and they get it. I mean, as young as 9, like, completely on board with that. And I was just like, sort of like, of course, but like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, actually, it's funny, Scott, you say that, because I was just thinking about it today, knowing that we were going to be talking about this afternoon. I was wondering that in particular, whether that mentoring skill seems to be available, because I was looking to my own experience, you know, as a young person, to the best, you know, I can remember, but also being around young people. And I was just looking at, oh my goodness, it would be amazing to have recording and listening introduced at a very young age, because it seems like my projection is that kids at quite a young age have they do have a sense of one another's experience, kind of a wanting to really, an empathy, being able to care for other people. And then it feels like we sort of skip a whole section where we just go into survival, right? It takes a while for that to come back in.
Well, I'll give you an example of, like, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it actually reminds me of the beginning of my practice where you don't know what's happening to you, but But if you just participate, yeah. which as you said at the beginning, kids just seem to be, I mean, I was working with some extraordinary kids, but kids in general seem to be willing, maybe a little bit more willing than sometimes we get as adults when those defenses pile on. But that willingness, and so they're, you know, being led, as, you know, I think Sherry introduced the two-handed exercise on open air many times. So the person doing this, and, you know, the right hand, they're saying what's going on for them and then listening in the left hand. And they got to that place of listening in the left hand and then, you know, just in the left hand, say whatever you, you know, feel moved to offer this person. And this girl who was in middle school, she said, well, it was kind of weird because it didn't even sound like me. She goes, but it was really comforting.
But it was really, you looked out for one second, Scott, but it was really
comforting.
What was comforting? Gotcha.
Comforting. And what? And so that place of it didn't sound like me and it was so comforting and reassuring was that, like, for me, it was like restraint and religious observances because, oh my gosh, my projection is what she's tapping into.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Wow. That, so when she said, it didn't sound like she was talking about what the left hand said.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And what she was talking about was it was really comforting both to listen to that kind of support and encouragement, but it was really comforting to be that support and encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. God, that's so big. It's so big.
And like you were saying, it is so big, Jen. And like you were saying about getting started earlier, I mean, I haven't done research on this in a while. I think it's been, anxiety and anxiety disorders is the most common mental health issue for kids and teens. And so, well, what is that? Well, anxiety is fear. Well, what do we know about that from awareness practice? Well, where is the attention? And so if there's a way, I mean, for me, it's like, it seems like recording and listening could be the in for kids into awareness practice.
Absolutely.
Because it's so concrete and applicable to what's going on in their lives. And just other benefits,
Scott,
that they were saying.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
What? I was just going to say, I mean, the other benefits that I didn't actually suggest, but like one of them was, well, I just found out that if I listened to them at night, I slept a lot better. You know, or I'm appreciated. I notice that I appreciate and like myself more now.
Wow.
I notice that when I focus on the good things, the bad things just seem to disappear. Which is, when you get present, there are no problems. So it's like they might not say it in our language, but they're having that experience again because those processes are universal. It's just like giving them a chance to practice it.
Yeah. Yeah, having their own firsthand experience. So it's not like it's so interesting, isn't it? So it's why awareness practice isn't learning a bunch of theories. Okay, let's see. The focus of your attention determines your life experience. Okay, I got to remember that, right? Multiple choice. Your life experience is based on A, what other people think of. But it's just facilitating people to have their own direct experience of what is, and then they articulate it in whatever way, you know, whatever words make sense to them. But it's why every tradition, you know, it's what the perennial philosophy is. It's every tradition talks about all the same stuff in their own way, but they're all pointing at the same thing because it's just what is. It's not someone's theory. It's what is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't have to know anything to have that experience.
You don't have to know anything. Yeah. And I think, you know, I was joking before, but not at all joking. I mean, truly my experience, again, from my own life, and from being around kids, is that there's that hideous gap where, so there's the beginning where, I mean, assuming your needs are met and, you know, you've got some adults who are, you know, all those things that they need to be, you know, you've got this place where you're just curious and interested in living life and in love and all those things. And then as we go through that, like, really difficult period of socialization and kind of being, quote, out on our own, and I project what begins, that's where that anxiety that you're talking about is so enormous, because there's that sense of leaving myself in order to look outside of me to see, what does everyone need me to be? Who am I? So, oh my gosh, I don't understand any of this. I, you know, so whatever our karmic orientation is, whatever's going to happen in that transition. And imagine if by when we stage, which, you know, for now, it's just part of the deal in how human society works. But if when we hit that stage, we had the skill to be able to turn internally to our own experience for reference, I can't even it's amazing.
I love that you laid that out, Jen. Yeah, I mean, wow, what an intervention, a developmental intervention to help us be here.
A developmental
and that love
intervention.
And compassion.
Yeah,
I mean, how fun.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, the other thing I'm really excited about, I don't know if this will ever, I don't know how that'll work or whatever, but my experience of working with kids is it's so fun to tap into their life experience. So, you know, this may unfold, I'm hoping or excited about the possibility of sort of, I don't know how to say it, but like developing recording and listening exercises that make sense from kids and having kids give their life experience input on that. That's always been my experience. Yeah. We used to talk in schools about, you know, teachers and students are equal participants in the processes of teaching and learning. And when we talk to them like that, boy, there's the noses of intelligence start speaking, and there's all kinds of things that I would never think of. I mean, largely because I'm not a kid anymore. I don't have that perspective anymore. But, I mean, that just seems like the possibilities are endless from what we've developed and what kids could offer from their life experience.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so fun. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, the last thing I just saw about it, well, is just that, and it opens back up the world of possibility, because, of course, all those places we're projecting from and working with kids and all those places we're taken to and working with kids are completely alive and well in here. And so it opens up that whole possibility for me connecting with my own recording and listening practice on that level.
Exactly. So fun.
Well, we are up against the hour, Scott, so I know there are probably a million more things to say, but anything else you'd like to end with?
I think we said it all, but just that people know that that's available through recording and listening training is working with kids, that's out there. And, I think that's important.
Yeah. It just occurs to me, because I've been looking about this in my own family and stuff, such a fun holiday present, right? I mean, obviously, you're going to say, do you want to do this, right? Not, here's what you have to do now. You have to do this training. But if there were a child in your life who was interested, who had a propensity towards that, what a lovely holiday gift that can be to give them the training. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Scott. Well, thank you so much for being with us and telling us your experience of that amazing new frontier.
It was a pleasure. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. How are you?
Good. That was an amazing conversation about recording and listening.
Yeah.
I think it's, I know Sherry often says that some of us are born with a very thin layer of dust.
Yeah.
Between us and our enlightened natures. And it sounds like it's so evident that children are so close to that place. And if they're given the tools to be able to rest with that, despite the socialization that's going on for them, wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's huge. It's a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and great to be offering it at an age when kids are so open and curious and willing to explore.
Exactly. And I project that it takes us to those places of curiosity. And I could hear that Scott's voice, right? That the ability to go to that place, that open place, that eternally curious place, that beginner's mind place when we work with kids. It's such a gift to ourselves to be able to touch back into that place.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know, Michael, it's certainly my experience, but somehow or the other, wisdom gets associated with experience, but there's so much wisdom in wisdom that is different and fresh when it's not put through that life experience and the lessons learned and the conclusions reached, right?
Right.
Medicine has so much to teach us. Because we're in the process of unlearning.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting that what you said, that interplay between wisdom and experience, and does experience lead to wisdom, or how does that all relate to each other?
Yeah. It's always fun to look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And I have announcements here.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. A new story highlighting the big hearts of the Cantalamba Cooperative has been posted. For that story and other Bridgewalk information, visit livingcompassion.org/BW2019. And be sure to join us for our next support call tomorrow, Wednesday, at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The call details are available at the same website. That's livingcompassion.org/BW2019, and also in today's email.
And I don't think this went out, Michael, but I believe Compassionate Scheduling, the workshop on November 30th, is also live for registration.
Oh, okay. Okay, workshop for Compassionate Scheduling on November 30th. And you said the registration for that is also live.
Yes.
Okay, good. And folks could find that at that website.
Yeah, it's, I think, on our regular website and on the practice offerings link from the campaign website.
Anywhere you look, you'll find it.
Yes, if you're looking for it, you're definitely going to find it.
Okay. Knock and the door will be opened. Okay, great. And two upcoming program offerings will help support Living Compassion Africa as they guide us in holiday well-being. This Saturday, November 16th, everyone is invited to partake in a recipe for Thanksgiving, a virtual exploration of the best ingredients for any celebration. And then, beginning Wednesday, November 20th, a new group coaching class will support us in the practice of conscious eating as we face the challenges that the holidays can bring. This four-week joyful eating class includes conference call group sessions and recording and listening suggestions and tips. And then celebrate 2019 and welcome 2020 with a community of folks dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness at our New Year's retreat, December 27th through January 1st, in the San Francisco Bay Area. This retreat features group discussions, guidance with Sherry, delicious food, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Ashwini, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation of about 5 minutes that's focused on one topic is great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we are ready here.
Excellent.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marilyn from Tennessee.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi. I just accidentally removed myself from the queue because you said to press star 61, and then I put myself back in. So I've been having a problem a lot more this past year with relationships, and I don't know how to be my own mentor very well. I've tried the recording and listening, and I've taken the training. It doesn't seem to help a lot, and I can't seem to compartmentalize like the good and the bad that I like in people. Seems like the bad jumps to the surface more, and then they irritate me, and then I push people away, or I get hurt by them, offended by them, and I'm just having a problem with family, friends, with relationships, and not knowing how to really like people. I like people I'm not real personally involved with, like, say, a yoga teacher or people I just see coming and going, but anyone I try to be in relationship with, or, like, mm-hmm. I say, family, who you are in relationship with, even if it may not be the most ideal of circumstances, I don't know how to love people when I find a lot of qualities in them that irritate me, like not being empathetic or being gossipy. And I know we're all not perfect, but I find myself always wishing that I would run into some people more with more of the same feelings I have about life or the mm-hmm. same ideals or stuff like that. But I'm retired, and I don't really have occasion to meet a lot of different people. I'm pushing away the very few that I have.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Marilyn. Are you aware, you have a recording practice, you've taken the training, so so you do know what the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate are? You're familiar when I use that term. Right?
Sort of. Things are all confusing to me.
Yes. Yeah. I can see that, which is probably the root of our root of your question here. So we think we're in relationship with people, but actually what we're in relationship is a voice in our heads. So this person is standing in front of me, and I don't know this, but you could pay attention to it and see that there's something that says, oh, my God, how can she be so judgmental? I hate the way she is. You know, I just mm-hmm. wish she would so not be negative. Would that be familiar to you if I said that that's what's going on in your mind when you're with somebody who you supposedly don't like?
Yeah, of course.
Right? Exactly,
yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so what we're told is, that I that thinks that you are judgmental or that you are so negative is who I am or who they are, right? So I hear a voice in my head saying, my God, she just said something so negative, and I'm supposed to think that what I said.
Would she be the person that I'm with, or are you talking about she that's me? The voice is talking to me, or my voice is talking about the other person?
Thank you for that. So let's use real terms, right? So Marianne is Ashmi's talking to Sally, right? And mm-hmm. Ashmi hears mm-hmm. in her head, oh my God, Sally is so negative. Can she just not say something positive and appreciative once, right? Mm-hmm. Because that voice is mm-hmm. happening in my head, I think there's something going on with Sally, and that Sally is a really unpleasant person to being around. And that is defined as my relationship with Sally. I don't like her because she's so negative. But what's really going on, first of all, is I'm actually not relating to Sally. I'm relating to a voice in my head telling me that Sally is judgmental and I don't like her. And if I'm listening to that voice in my head, I'm not in relationship with Sally. I'm not present to Sally. I'm only in relationship to a voice in my head. So the first place we always start in awareness practice is to pay attention to what is it that I am attending to. Because what I'm attending to is what I'm in relationship with.
In my
and
own
if
head.
We're in relationship, yes, because in yes, exactly that. Now let me pause there and see if you're tracking.
Okay. You mean for me to repeat or?
Oh no, say, just you follow what I'm saying.
Well, I hear you, but it's hard because it sounds unreal to me. If someone is really irritating you or their qualities you don't like, why is that not true? You're supposed
so
to
hang
just
on a
ignore
second.
That and say
no,
it's
no.
only voice.
No, let me. Well, that's the first place to start to pay attention to. The second thing, your question is a very interesting one, because what the belief is, it's the quality of that person that is annoying to me. Which mm-hmm. implies that I believe the voice that says that person is judgmental. But really, what's going on is simply judgment. I identify with, I'm judging you, or I think you are. But we really want to pause to see whether or not the quality that is being projected on the other person is a quality that's true about them, or a quality that is true about the hateful voice in your head. So if a voice says, Marianne, you're so unpleasant, are you going to believe it? It certainly says something about the voice that is saying you're unpleasant, but that doesn't necessarily mean you are. So it's really important to start to pay attention to who are the I's and the U's in this whole drama? Because if your attention is on that conversation, what you know is the conversation is irritating, it's absolutely annoying, it's completely negative, and doesn't have a good thing to say about anybody. If I'm in relationship to that, then my perspective of the world, if I'm identified with that system, that egocentricity speaking, then its worldview is that the world is a completely negative place. It, people are annoying, people are irritating, and the thing that you should do is not interact with other people. Just stay and interact with me and be annoyed at the rest of the world. So the only relationship you end up having is one with the voice in your head, which is what it's about. It's all about separation. Us versus them. Us, me versus them. Us versus me, right? Whatever it is, however the separation happens. And so when you started off, you said, I have had a difficult time being in relationship to the mentor. And that that's a clue, right? Because if I'm in relationship with the wisdom, love, and compassion, then I have one experience. But it sounds like what the attention is is on that conversation in conditioned mind. That conversation is always hateful. So if that's what I'm in relationship with, I haven't actually trained myself to be in relationship to life, or the mentor as we would call it, that is loving and kind and the mentor.
You said in relationship to life or something, as something would call it, the mentor
mentor, as we would call it, right? Or as we would call it, the mentor. So here's a way to do that, right? If you were talking to a really, really dear friend of yours that you loved, or to someone you loved dearly, what would you say to them? Just picture someone you loved, you love.
Okay, and you want me to say?
And, yeah, what would you say to them?
Well, about what?
about anything that you love them, what you think is nice about them, why you like them, what about them you love, perhaps.
Oh, what qualities am I looking to? Do I love?
Well,
I love qualities of sincerity. I love that you are sincere, that you're empathetic, that you're authentic.
Uh huh.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly. So where you're looking for that is very different than when you're the voice that says, actually, you're so unempathetic and you're so irritating. What we're trying to believe is that's true, but that's only because you're looking to a source that is judgmental and hateful rather than looking to a source of love that sees what it appreciates about somebody.
So like what might be there, even if they're not displaying it to me at the moment, if like a self-fulfilling prophecy, if I think more loving of them, that maybe that will be brought forth out of their personality?
No, not quite, because we're looking for what is true in the only place that what is true is so. So if I look to conditioned mind, if I look to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, or rather looking through that lens, I'm never going to see anything good or loving or kind or wise about anybody or anything, including me. Because that orientation to life is negative, unappreciative, judgmental, and critical. So what we're doing in awareness practice is being able to have attention here, this perspective from which I can see what is so, versus seeing through the conditioned lens where I identify with that voice that is mean, hateful, and judgmental, and therefore think other people are mean, hate, and judgmental. And that is the movement that we're training to do.
All right. What if you find yourself in a situation where you want to try and do all of that, project the right things and not look through the lens of conditioned mind, but you feel like you're going to burst with anger or say something you shouldn't. You just
Aha.
have to withdraw from
it? No. Well, you could just, there are several things you can do. Have you read the new book, Don't Suffer, Communicate?
No, not yet.
I would highly recommend it.
I've got the one on the shelf still to read about suffering. There's no reason to suffer or something about it.
Yeah, suffering is
optional.
But this book will give you some real tips, because so there's two things there, right? When you're with somebody and you're watching a conditioned reaction, right? Something happens, the ego starts that process, we get triggered and we react and we feel all these sensations because we're identified. That's the language we use, right? Suddenly, there's a reaction, and that's because I've now identified with ego, and all kinds of things are happening for me. So one thing, just to be in that, if you can't get out of this situation gracefully, you could just simply reflect or not say anything, or I don't know if you know what reflection is, but this book will tell you what it is, and so will our effective listening bodies program. But the
I've
most
done
important
that
thing,
class too.
Yeah, right? So you reflect
yes.
what they say, and that way you don't have to agree, you don't have to disagree. Just mm-hmm. be present to what is being said without having to uh-huh. take it personally and go into that ego place to react from, right?
Like this,
and
is
then,
that so?
Yeah, is that so? Exactly. And then uh-huh. you could take up your handy recorder and do that two-handed recording exercise that you learned in your training to basically see what's going on for you. What is ego doing to you that is causing you to feel that anger? And once you get in touch with that, you can move to that place of the friend, which is the mentor, and listen to this person who's being tortured by conditioning and see what might be supportive or encouraging or helpful to them. That way, you get mentored. You're in relationship with wisdom, love, and compassion. Ego can't get a hold of you. And as that transformation happens to you inside, you'll find that you can be with anybody, anywhere, anytime in presence, rather than being tortured or being identified with that conditioned conversation. It's a many-step process.
Right. It's complex. I'll have to listen to it many times. Can I ask you something a little more specifically about Thanksgiving coming up?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay. So it's not only anger and irritation with people, but when I get hurt too, so I was recently hurt by some actions of family members around my birthday, and so in their way, I guess they've tried to apologize just by sending a dumb text, you know, like, oh, forget about everything, you know, let's talk or let's get together again. And now there's the Thanksgiving thing coming up, but I want them to apologize in a more genuine way. I want them to come to me face to face, and I want them to talk to me, and I want them to ask me, why were you hurt? And, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't understand. I don't like it when people just send a flippant text with an emoji or something and you know, like, let's talk. And
yes.
So I've been ignoring.
So, Marilyn, the first place
members.
Marilyn, the first place I would do that would be you pick up the recorder and you talk as that person who's really, really angry, really hurt, really betrayed about getting a flippant text. Do the two-handed mm-hmm. recording exercise with you. Get clear about what's going on for you. Right? That's uh-huh. where the healing and the transformation happens. If our well-being is based on other people behaving in a way that's acceptable to us, we will always be
right.
miserable. The problem,
right.
you can't control another person. You cannot. They will have, because what's happening for them is the same thing that's happening for you, right? There's a conversation in their head that's causing them mm-hmm. to behave in ways that are unskillful. And so they yeah. are identified, and they perpetrate what ego does everywhere. So you know what happens when that happens to you. When you say something or do something unskillful, you get beaten up by the voices in your head because you did that and went unconscious. And so the thing that Sherry says this, and there's nothing wrong with you, right? The thing that nobody wants to do is to grow up. We don't want to take responsibility for the fact that my experience in life is the only person that has any influence over what my experience is me. I have to work out my own salvation diligently. I have to offer myself all of the love, acceptance, and sympathy and empathy that I want to get from outside. And the only way to do that is to establish a relationship with the mentor. So before you do anything about Thanksgiving, basically pick up the recorder and talk. Let that person who's having that hurt experience talk to the recorder. Listen to her as if you were listening to a really, really good friend. See what arises
okay.
for you to say to her. Because that's where it all begins.
Right. I've thought about a lot of that and being the bigger person and loving and, you know, creating what I want in my mind. And I vacillate back and forth. I have a fear of putting myself in the context with family again and being miserable and having my head talk to me about it for 3 days nonstop afterwards.
Yes.
So
I have
a great
yes.
fear.
Yes, well, that's because it's all happening in the mind, right? So what you're telling me is that you're listening to a conversation about fear, about what you're going to do and how awful you're going to be and how you don't want to listen to the voices beat you up after that. So, again,
and how much easier it would be not to go so that I can
right.
just
exactly.
be by myself and not have all that interaction that the
right.
struggle.
Which is why you as an awareness practitioner will take everything that arises in life as a workshop. So you're not going to solve
okay.
it all tomorrow. You're just going to train with it. You're going to train to watch what happens. And the first place that you're going to train with is with your recorder, right? Just keep doing two-handed recording exercises because it's a training in assisting the person who is suffering, being able to let her say what's going on for her to the only person who can listen to it and be on her side, which is the mentor. Listen to what the mentor says. And for that relationship to develop in a way that ultimately you don't need other people to be a certain way in order for you to be okay.
Okay. I tell myself that and
telling yourself that is never going to work, Marilyn. It never is going to work. Because what is telling you that is the same thing that is telling you that Sally, or telling me that Sally, is an awful, mean, and unkind person. As long as the conversation is in your head, it's not any different from having a conversation in conditioned mind, which is why we so encourage using the recorder. It's a completely different experience. You're not required. So for the person who's hurt, telling her that she has to have a bigger perspective in life is a setup. She can't. She's
That's
hurt.
Not what the mentor will do on the recorder?
Not any mentor I've heard of. So maybe you'll have to see what with the wisdom, love, and compassion that is there in that moment will say to her. Because if you were sitting across from a friend who is upset, I mean, if you told her you need to have a bigger perspective and let it go, she'd feel completely hurt and abandoned by you, rejected even. Mm-hmm. Her experience is not validated. You would never say that to someone you love. You would say, I'm so sorry, yeah. Right? I'm yeah. really sorry that you're hurt. What can I do to help, right? Not, mm-hmm. You should be the bigger person and have a different perspective.
Yes,
so I project you have lots to practice with, right?
Lots to do what?
Lots to practice with.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling and clarifying that.
Okay, thank you so much, Ashwini, and thank you, Michael. Gesho.
You're welcome.
Take care, Marilyn.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Marilyn. That was fascinating conversation, Ashwini, and three things dropped in for me about that. First of all, conditioning is really nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we all struggle. We all struggle with it. And three, there's a way out of it. And thank goodness that I have found a path that teaches me a way out of it. And it's a process. It's an ongoing, not overnight, it's an ongoing, need commitment, need to re-participate, and it's possible to get out of that.
It takes patience and willingness to do the work.
Yep, yes.
And to do it in small increments, right? Not that whole conditioned notion that it's all going to be solved tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Ashwini, we are going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Build compassionate discipline into your life with Zen Awareness Coaching. Weekly calls and email check-ins provide support and accountability for waking up and ending suffering. Coaching assists us to recognize conditioned patterns and direct attention to what we want for our lives instead. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Get a Zen Awareness Coach and choose to make a change for good for your practice and your life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Ashwini.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sure, this is Brad calling from Maryland.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Hello. I figured I'd call into the show because this doesn't pertain to the annual retreat, but I certainly had a life circumstance which has come about. It's fallen into my lap, and I suppose if I wasn't practicing, maybe I'd look at it in a different perspective. So what happened was, about a week ago, my son was wrestling with me, he sits on my head and literally tries to pull my head off. So I had a problem with my neck after that. And then after that, I had swelling in my arms and legs and feet, and that didn't go away for like a week and a half. So I figured something was wrong with me. So I had all this blood work done, and I just saw my physician yesterday, and I've been informed that I have an autoimmune disease called lupus. More than likely, that's what I have. And it was interesting kind of being able to step away from kind of how ego maybe wanted to react to the situation. And even now, watching other people's reactions to when I tell them, and just really that, yeah, I'm familiar with, obviously some of those symptoms were incredibly unpleasant, but at the same time, I still don't really know all that's going on with it. But I try to look at it from the perspective of, you know, if I wasn't aware that I could step away from conditioned reaction, it could be a lot harder for me.
Yes, it sort of brings us to that place, right, Brad, about what we practice for. Those are exactly the places we practice for.
Well, you know, it's funny because I could tell with the way that, you know, I was projecting as the doctor was sitting down, I'm like, oh, she's going to tell me something heavy, you know. And I noticed the same physical sensations right before someone told me someone close to me had died. You know, it's happened like two or three other times in my life. So, you know, it was interesting to see. And, you know, one of the beliefs in my family particularly is on my mom's side is that we, you know, we have incredibly good health and nothing affects us. So I noticed that what ego would love to say is that this shouldn't happen to me because of my genetics or whatever, this shouldn't happen. Or that it would want to suffer on the other side of the duality and say, why do these things always happen to me? So it's like, you know, I could see the way that ego would love to set up a duality about what's going on with all of this. And, you know, at the moment I'm just like, well, thank God my joints aren't as swollen as they were a week ago. So that's where I'm at right now. You know, that's what I'm dealing with, you know.
Yes. Well, and that's really what I think that we started off with, right? That you can watch how clearly this is big news, right? There's a way in which it was something that is serious, and that's the information you received. You could tell in your body the hyper alertness of being very aware. Right? All of the senses here, a lot of presence in receiving that information. And you can watch how conditioning attempts to take that presence away with whatever conversation it's going to throw at you, in this case a duality between, oh, well, this shouldn't be happening, or why does this keep happening to you, taking you out of whatever your experience is with the information you've been given. And there's a way in which I project, there's a little lightness, as you said, oh my God, I'm so grateful that my joints were not as swollen as they were a week ago. And in that, there's that ability to be able to just be with it as it is, as it's unfolding, and that's all we're ever practicing for, right? Whatever it is, I'm here with you, Brad, for it. At whatever level I'm receiving it in this moment, and I'm here for that.
Well, yeah. And Ashwini, you know, I still battle with what I call jokingly my daily karma of things that, you know, are going to cause me to suffer. But on the bigger scale of looking at things in terms of how I've been practicing, I just say to myself, well, you know, all I have is this moment in which to deal with it, and I have to take it as it comes. But, you know, being in a conversation about it, or, you know, for a lack of a better term, freaking out over it, you know, those things just don't do anything. It's a pointless endeavor.
Yes, it is. And over and over again, you know, we've been practicing with that in, as you said, your daily karma level, right? But the practice of all of these years has really given you the ability to know, to recognize, to realize, this is the only moment you have. and you want to be here for this moment. And being drawn into a conversation that is ego freaking out or ego denying or ego doing whatever it's doing, really, those are all roads you don't particularly want to go down and know how not to go down. And
yeah.
If there is a place where a human being has an intense reaction, whether it's anger or a freak out or panic or whatever else, there is that capacity to bring all of the love and compassion for that person's
to be there for
experience,
him. Yeah.
To be there for him, right?
Right.
Because
yeah.
there are things in life that are hard and challenging, and this might be one of them. And so
yeah.
it's an unfolding thing.
We'll see as it unfolds, exactly. You know,
but,
I have to see
but,
a specialist, and I have to go from there, you know, and just
yes.
that's
And that's all you
on.
Know right now, right? Or conditioning might
yeah.
want to have all kinds of predictions or be, you know, in that banal way saying, oh, well, you know, why does this keep happening to you or it shouldn't be happening to you or whatever level it wants to trivialize the experience. But for you, in this moment, I'm grateful it's not as painful as it was as last week. And
it's very, yeah, it's very middle way looking at it from that perspective. You know, I'm not flopping on either side of a duality suffering over it. It's just like, okay, you know, this is what life presents me at this moment. Exactly. What now?
I just have this piece of information. I'll have more when I go to see the specialist. That's the next step. In between those places, my practice is to be as present to the moment as I possibly can, which is what I do anyway, which is what I was doing even before I got this quote-unquote diagnosis, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if I could just end on one thing, just to mention this, just as a point of, I don't know if the word's fascination, but, you know, 4 days before all this happened, here I was in the gym exercising and, you know, reasonably healthy. And then 4 days later, I'm so swollen, I can't pick up an 18-pound dog nor my kids, you know. So
yeah.
it's just, to me, it's just such an example of no control. You know, it's not anything I did. This is just life. You know,
yeah.
I'm not separate from it. This is just what's unfolding as is the moment, you know.
Yeah, and you know, how much gratitude to the practitioner who's done all the work, that is the perspective in this moment.
Yeah, and I need to keep on that because it's saying, I haven't done enough. I'm just like, listen,
right.
you know what, whatever
yeah.
you have
yeah.
done, it's helped gain you had to have enough awareness to the point that we're not suffering now if we don't, we never need to, but, you know.
That's exactly right, and ego
present.
Has never done enough. It's right. It's never done enough. All the
no,
credit for what
no.
has happened goes to Brad,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
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 But boy, yeah. You can never please ego. So no need trying.
And no need trying. Exactly. No need to indulge it in at all. At all.
Right. All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much for lending in here.
Thanks,
and,
Brad. Stay close.
Hope to talk
huh?
to you guys
keep
soon.
Us,
okay, we'll do. We'll do. Thanks to
informed.
You and Michael. All right. Have a great night.
Thank you, Brad.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And Ashwini, the courage that I heard in that conversation and the skill that comes from practice as we
oh my
practice
God. Yeah.
as we practice for these moments, for these times,
mm-hmm.
it's just so inspiring to me. It's
That's
incredible.
Extraordinary.
Yep.
It's truly extraordinary.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And, you know, Michael, at some level, we were talking about this with Marilyn, right, that if we have a strong relationship to the mentor, we know we don't have to go through difficult times alone. That is the singular comfort
yes.
of having this practice, because there is no way we need to feel like we have to do anything by ourselves. And that's true at the level of our mentor, within quotes, as well as with the Sangha, you know? The support and the love that will be directed to supporting however the support is required or needed or accessible or whatever that there's a way in which we're always embraced by all of the people who are doing this practice together.
Yes, I was going there exactly. Yeah, right with you. So I always have my practice in this moment, wherever I am, and I have a gazillion practice opportunities to support me in every way.
Mm-hmm. And a gazillion practitioners, right?
Yes, yes.
To tap into.
I know that's, yeah. I know that's a technical term, gazillion.
Yes.
But yes, lots of us, lots of us. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Jill in Brooklyn.
Hey, Jill.
Hey, Jill.
Hi, I have some new earphones. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, it sounds very clear.
Really? Oh, that's great. That's great. I am getting a lot out of this, these conversations, and I actually was just thinking, you know, we don't have to do anything alone. Even sit in the queue, we don't have to do that alone. Like, the mentor can be here.
Yes. Yes.
Which is so great. And, I guess what I was looking at a little bit, listening to other people, was this process of when something comes up that when I'm in awareness, I can see it's coming from conditioning, and that what I do next sometimes is to want to push that away or to dislike it or to have to sort of do an intervention, in quotes, that will somehow, to do something about it, essentially. And I guess something that's been happening to me recently, I don't even know how it's happening, frankly, but it's just that impulse is changing. And that, I think it seems like I'm when something comes up that I don't like, I'm no longer disliking the fact that I don't like it, if that makes sense.
Yes, I think it does. I think it does. So let me see if I can reflect this in the language of practice and maybe give us an example. But what I would say is, previously, if something arose in awareness, you were aware of the conditioned reaction to intelligence registering it, going, no, I don't like that, right? So there's an identification, a movement away from that awareness. And what you're seeing now, if I'm tracking, is, the awareness is registering it. There is an awareness of an identity that dislikes it or wants to do something about it. And then there's an awareness of not disliking or hating the fact that dislike is in awareness.
Yeah, that it's there. I guess that was perfect. And, just looking at this belief that, that there's an unpolluted mind, I guess there's something that's like, that is just, blissful, and there's no muck or algae hanging out in there. It's just this very clear water. And in some ways it is when I sort of get to the other side of it, but I mean, it's just so, I just see it everywhere, everywhere that, I interact with a lot. There's a lot of stimuli in my life, and I'm in a culture deep in it where like and dislike is basically, the language of everything. Everyone has preferences, including me, so it's all about which is fine, but the suffering over it is and the jockeying for getting what you want and not want. I mean, it's just, it feels intense sometimes. I'm sorry, say again?
And exhausting.
Exhausting, yeah. I'll say for sure. For this person who is just, bumbling through all this, and to constantly be, just experiencing the the hungry ghost, I guess I'll say, of mm-hmm. want, and then to, you know, to not add the exhaustion of trying to get rid of that in some way, or to have to figure out how to, that's a problem, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jill, I'm going to try to reflect in the practice framework I see it in, right? So here is that, we could say the I that has a dislike or has a preference and lives in a world that is all about preferences. And so then what happens when there is noticing of those preferences is to move to an I that has to somehow deal with those preferences. And that's encapsulated in a world where there's a belief that somehow or the other having preferences is wrong, and so I need to go up against having preferences, not realizing that the entire position and defending the position or transcending the position is happening in a world of positions. And mm-hmm. so I would project that what you're experiencing is from that place of acceptance that all this keeps going on. You've actually dropped out of talking to ego, or ego trying to transcend ego, into a world that is just aware that ego does this. So you're no longer in the fray. There's no, you're not being, your life energy is not being manipulated by ego, and therefore there's a way in which you're not in the system anymore.
Yes. And also, when you said that back to me, which was so helpful, because the first thing you said was reflected what I said, which was, you know, living in a world of preferences that's steeped in preferences. And, you know, that's only true when I'm steeped in preferences.
you could say identified with, right?
Identified, exactly. That's a total projection of all the things that are offered to me in this city and in my life. That what sees that is also, you know, what is trying to get, I am identified with it, or is trying to get me identified with it.
Yeah, and that's at a subtle point, right? If I'm tracking, what you're saying is, if I prefer pizza, then I'm identified with what prefers pizza. It's less easy to see that my identification with what thinks it's wrong to like pizza and not be able to get it is also not an identification. And that's what we're tracking, right? The thing that says you should not suffer over liking this kind of pizza is as much of an identification as what likes the pizza, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And so that awareness that goes, yeah, whatever, you like pizza, you think that you should not like pizza. Well, from the perspective I sit, you can have that battle. This is not engaged in that.
yeah, and that there, and that, you know, that that maybe this is not, that I'm not, that this city is not a world of preferences. Maybe it is. I suspect there's a lot more to. Anyway, when that's not in my awareness, I don't know how to say this, but
when you're not identified with it, that's not what's being projected, because
exactly,
you're identified with something that has an ability to see a lot more than just dislike and liking, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. And then to not get pulled into the dislike and liking of the dislike or liking, or, you know, that it can kind of just become a sort of a hall of mirrors.
Becomes full of courses, right?
Yeah. And then it takes all sorts of forms, and then it's, you know, it has, it just can be very subtle, and in how it, the language it can use. Because it seems sometimes that there's a preferred state, and let's try and get there.
Which is also a preference, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes, it's preferred.
Exactly.
And that this is the list of things that will get you there, and this is the list of things that will not get you there. And, you know, well, there are, you know, things I practice and do for and to support Jill. If that gets drawn into the system of like and don't like, it just becomes something that's to suffer over. So.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That if it's not that there's anything, and I think that's what this perspective of awareness can see. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with liking or disliking, right? But if there's a suffering over it, that's really what becomes the issue. But that perspective that can see ego do its thing and not have a judgment about it, that's awareness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that the stuff, I guess what I just saw when you said that is that a form of suffering, it seems like, that can happen for this person is that when my attention is drawn into, even gets stuck on this like and dislike thing, that it's just a collapse awareness that might not feel sad or, you know, it might not have a lot of the typical qualities of quote-unquote suffering, but it's intertwined with the sort of machinations of conditioning that is, you know, that can waste, yes. You know, number of hours.
Yes, that's so beautifully stated. Beautifully stated that its attention is on the conversation with such a collapsed awareness that it's such a pure mental activity. So much, it's such an absence of presence.
Yes.
There's still no awareness of that until you come to, because it doesn't have the normal overtones of suffering, right? It's not angry. It doesn't have an emotional quality to it, and therefore it escapes our notice that it's really all of the attention is on conditioned mind.
Yeah.
And that, by definition, is a very suffering place.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, and then to come to over it, yeah, and to see it. Wow, that was a really good piece. Wow, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad I called in.
It has. Thank you. It has.
Yes.
So interesting and so fascinating to process our experience, right? Because learn so much from that process.
Yeah, and even just... The little nuances of it, it's just so thrilling to to hear it, sort of how, it, I don't know, it kind of broadens and enriches it, which is so helpful and so expansive.
It really is.
Yes.
Is there more?
I think that's it. I was going to talk about the weather, but maybe... I know we have a minute left or something, so but maybe I'll just say it's cold and leave it at that.
And we don't have a preference about that, right, Jill?
No, actually, and you know what's so funny is that maybe this is what got me to this topic is because when I was walking home, I took a long walk about 40 minutes or something in the dark, freezing cold, wind like you would not believe. And I was just like, this is so much fun. And I know that is probably just it might be a characteristic of Jill and not, you know, a characteristic of like some sort of awakening or like that I'm so enlightened. But I just really enjoyed it. And it just made me feel like the earth is, Mother Nature just has a lot to show us. And
yes, lots of energy.
Lots of energy, exactly, and that, and that's so much, I don't know, I just felt like it was fun, and if someone had told me that I was going to have to go out and have that experience, I probably would not have chosen it, so.
Yes, which is really the salient point of the whole discussion we've been having, right? A preference is static. I consult conditioned mind to say, I like cold weather or I don't like cold weather. And so if it's cold outside, consulting conditioned mind, I don't want to go out in the cold. But being present allows you to have whatever experience you had. You might have been completely identified in that walk, or you could have been completely present and enjoyed it, or you were completely present and you did not enjoy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you were present to it.
and has nothing to do with preferences. I mean, your conditioned mind didn't update your daily preferences to go to Jill now likes cold weather.
I know, that's so funny, because I was just thinking, I don't like cold weather, but I really enjoy it. That's exactly what I was just saying.
Right? So that's an interesting place to look, that our experiences don't inform our choices, our beliefs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Our experience.
And consulting that just doesn't allow us to know what the moment is going to give us in terms of what we're feeling alive.
Mm-hmm.
I project,
mm-hmm.
and connected to the earth.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. It was beautiful. Well, thank you.
Thank you. And I guess I should say stay warm or enjoy the cold, whichever works.
Both. Well, some,
okay.
Yeah, both. Thanks so much.
Take care, Joe.
You
thank
too.
You.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. And that brings us to the end of the show, Ashwini. It's a great show.
It was a great show. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, callers. Thank you, Sangha. And go happy. And don't forget to treasure yourself.
Go happy.
Go happy.